football season is almost here. I had some cicadas in my backyard yesterday making their cicada sounds. I actually saw one of those spotted lantern flies.
I've seen those.
Oh, boy.
They're weird.
They are freaky, man.
They are.
I don't remember seeing them as early last year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like it was August before we got the spotted lantern flies.
I don't remember them last year. I thought it was this year. Whatever.
The fall. I don't know. Whatever. They're ugly. I kill them. Ray Fittipaldo joins us now. Cicadas, fall, football. Who better to talk to than Ray Fittipaldo? He's brought to you by Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, built on relationships, credibility, and integrity. LGKG.com. You hearing the cicadas yet there, Ray?
No, but those spotted lantern flies, when the Steelers returned from La Trobe last year, they were everywhere on the south side. So not looking forward to that again this year.
Yeah, they're nasty. And then they're just dead and everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Like, I do remember. Yeah, they were dead everywhere. That's right.
Like 19, Mount Lebanon.
Yeah.
You go up Washington Road, they were freaking everywhere. All right, Ray, now to the football. We got the cicada talk out of the way. Did the Steelers have an idea that Cam Sutton's suspension could be this lengthy? Like, was this what they were expecting, or did they think it'd be a two-gamer or a four-gamer, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they knew there was going to be a suspension, but I don't know if they knew that it was going to be an eight-gamer. So, you know, obviously there's going to be some adjustment there by the front office. Honestly, guys, I think this brings the Patrick Peterson conversation back into play. You know, we could talk as much as we want about Josiah Scott and Graylin Arnold and Beanie Bishop out of West Virginia. But the bottom line is all three of those guys have limited or no NFL experience. And Patrick Peterson is sitting out there. You could probably get him on the cheap. So I don't think that move's going to be made before camp. But I do think if they don't like any of those three guys early in camp, I think that's a move you could see be made sometime, you know, mid-August, something like that.
Yeah, Ray, which one of those guys could make a push for that slot position, though? I mean, if they were to not make a move of a Patrick Peterson, which we all anticipate that they do, which one of those guys could win that spot in training camp, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, Scott has the most experience of any of those guys, but it's not a lot. It's actually from a few years ago. It's not a lot of recent playing time in the NFL. So I would say Scott or perhaps Beanie Bishop. I know they like Bishop. You know, he's got a lengthy college resume, played a lot of college football. But again, are you going to count on an undrafted rookie free agent to come in and play a significant role? And I know people are going to compare him to Mike Hilton. You know, Beanie himself compared himself to Mike Hilton. But, you know, the fact of the matter is Mike Hilton was with the Patriots before the Steelers, spent time on the Steelers practice squad, then an entire offseason before he beat out Willie Gay. So, you know, even guys like that need a little bit of time to acclimate to the NFL.
Was it worth it for the Steelers to bring in Cam Sutton knowing he's going to miss half the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think so, guys. If you look at the second half of the schedule, that's where all of your difficult games are. And I'm not saying the Steelers can get by with one of those guys and be totally okay in the first half of the season, but your easier games are in the first half. So if they can negotiate that portion of the schedule, maybe mix and match, you know, they do have some versatile safeties that could also be options. You know, DeMonte Casey can cover a little bit. Elliott can cover a little bit. So they will have options there. I think, you know, for the vet minimum, you get him for nine games and potentially a postseason run. I think that's just fine.
Dante Jackson, I know he said that he's never played inside corner, but did they explore that at all in OTAs or minicamp?
No, I didn't see it. And, asking a guy who's never done it, and I know he's not that long corner that you see nowadays in the NFL. He's more of that 5'11", 6 foot variety. But asking a guy who's never done it to hop inside and play, it's a different game inside. It really is. You got to be able to play and run support. And I know Jackson does that well, but it's a different game. You're covering different types of receivers. And I think that would be a big ask of a guy, especially a 6'7" year veteran to come in and do that you know, for the first time. I don't think they'll explore that route.
Right. Who do you think they're hoping more can be a number one, Joey Porter Jr. or George Pickens? Because Joey Porter Jr., yeah, he had a pretty good year last year, but I mean, you're still kind of hoping. He's not Darrelle Revis. He's not Richard Sherman. Like, he's a young player this year. They're hoping he could be a number one corner. And the same with George Pickens. Like, they're hoping he could be a number one receiver. Which one probably outweighs the other in them having success this year if one of those guys do come forward?
Yeah, I think franchise corners are harder to find. So I think that's the guy you want to sign to a second contract. And I'm not, you know, saying that George Pickens can't develop into a number one, but we've seen over the recent past year, the last 10 or 15 years, Dorn, you can go out and get a receiver first, second, third round. Any of those guys can develop into number ones. I mean, look at Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp was what, a second or a third round pick?
Look at Puka Nacua.
There are tons of guys like that out there. Puka Nacua, yeah. Call him a one or a two. Whatever you want to do it. You know, what were there, 25 or 30 receivers drafted in the first three rounds the last couple of years? I mean, it's crazy. So I think those guys are just more readily available than corners. So I think the hope is Joey turns out to be that guy and you sign him to a second deal.
Ray Fittipaldo joining us here on the Fan Morning Show, and the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. You hearing anything about Brandon Ayuk or any receivers, any fires in the iron?
No, it's been pretty quiet on that front. I think NFL teams and their execs are just now trickling back into the building. You know, they take 3 weeks or so off between mini camp and training camp. So they're just getting back into the swing of things. I'm sure those conversations will be had in the coming weeks and early in training camp. But nothing new on that front, but I don't think it's dead. I think that's going to heat up, especially when it comes to report day for the 49ers. What does Ayuk do? Does he report? Does he practice? Does he sit out? You know, all those things are going to play into what kind of pressure he puts on John Lynch and subsequently the opportunities that, Omar Khan and the Washington Commanders and other teams are going to have and, trying to obtain his services.
Ray, every time I watch a video of Justin Fields training or working out, I sit there and think, and I'm like, what is the 30,000-foot view plan of Justin Fields for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Like, is it for him to come in and compete in training camp and to push Russell Wilson? Is it, he's the future of the Steelers? Is it he's a Taysom Hill-type guy? Like, in your opinion, if you could make an educated guess, like, what is the grand plan for Justin Fields? Because I can't wrap my mind around it at this point.
Yeah, I think they want to find out as much about Justin as they can from July 24th until, opening day. And we didn't really see this in OTAs. Russell really wanted to be out there every day. He didn't miss any practices. But a lot of times, Doran, what you'll see with the Steelers, and they did this with Ben, they'll do this with veterans at other positions, they'll purposely rest guys every third or fourth day just to give them a rest. And on those days, those are going to be huge opportunities for Justin Fields to go out there with the ones and to show what he can do. So, yeah, you're not going to see Justin Fields maybe with the ones a whole lot in the preseason games unless there's an injury. But I think we'll see that maybe 5-6 times during training camp. And, I think on those days when he does get to go with the ones, he's going to have to prove himself and show the coaching staff in the front office that, he might be a part of this team's future.
So, like a fact-finding mission, kind of, in those 5-6 practices, Ray, if he blows them out of the water, you're not thinking, though, day one, Atlanta, he's the guy, but you're thinking maybe before the season starts, they might try to sign him to a bridge deal or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know about a bridge deal, but I'm just saying he wants them to say, okay, yeah, maybe there's something here. He looks very comfortable throwing to the receivers. He commands the huddle well. He communicates well. Those are all the things that he's looking for. I mean, honestly, guys, you have to see him in games to believe in him. But, there are going to be times in training camp, and not just on the field, but in meetings. They're going to be paying attention to how he communicates with teammates and the staff. All that stuff adds up to it. So bridge deal, maybe. I'm not really big on that, but certainly – if he does play well, I think there will be an opportunity in those 6 to 8 weeks, you know, from January to March, where they could potentially do a deal next year.
Ray, who has the biggest uphill battle to engrave themselves on the as a rookie on the Steelers offense? Faltanu, Frazier, or Wilson, Roman Wilson? Like, who has the biggest job to be like, okay, I have a spot here and I have to earn it?
Yeah, well, you know, that's interesting, Doran, because Roman Wilson is a third-round pick, but there's a need for him to at least be a number three, right? I don't know about a starter, but I think you would at least like to have him as a number three. So I don't know that that's all of an uphill climb. You know, of those three that you mentioned, I'll say Faiutanu, just because he's switching positions. You know, Frazier has been a center, has always been a center. I think that's going to be somewhat of a seamless transition if he plays well. So Faiutanu, learning the new footwork, getting used to the right side, you know, I think he could do it, but, you know, we have to see in the 6 or 8 weeks if he is comfortable and able to do it. I think he is, but, yeah, that's definitely going to be a storyline once we get to Latrobe.
Ray, tremendous stuff. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
Thanks, Ray.
We'll talk to you next week. You asked a lot of very good questions in that interview.
Thank you.
It blew me away.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a good question about Justin Fields. That's a good question about the rookies.
Thank you.
Because I was like wanting to wrap it up because I wanted to talk to you about some of the things he said. We'll do that coming up in the next segment. Great questions by Dor. I'm so happy to be back.
Yes.
And we're seeing back. All you guys.
We're back.
Got this tweet from Jonathan who says, per our conversation at the end of the last hour, Skeens lives with Kyle Nicholas, we knew that, Jared Jones, and Jared Jones' fiance. They all live together.
That's nice.
So it's good for Kyle Nicholas. Look, Jared. Jared, we don't know each other, buddy.
Don't.
I don't know that I'd be rushing in anything. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I know he's got a big shoe habit.
They've been together since like high school, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, who would ever do that? You know what I did? Swear to God. Night one, come back from the bar at Dewey Beach, Delaware. The house next to us, it was a bunch of kids going into college. So summer between senior year of high school, freshman year of college. And they were all staying down there in the summer so that they could work. One kid, I'm back, maybe smoking a cigarette or whatever. After we came back from the bar, I just start talking to him. His girlfriend is going to be a swimmer at Duquesne. I told him to break up with her.
Of course you did. Great advice.
He was going to school with the Hens, where the Blue Hens, where
Delaware?
Flacco went. Yeah, Delaware. And I said, you don't want to do long distance. Just end things now. Just end it.
Yeah. It's not bad advice. It's really not bad advice.
It's not. My wife and I would not be together if we didn't break up for a year in college. So that was where I came from. And so I'm now giving the same advice, passing it along to Jared Jones.
Yeah, he should take it.
There's a lot of money in that right arm, Jared. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying don't marry her. I'm just saying take your time and think. See if he wants to come on the show. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. The kid's name was Jeff. I didn't know we were making Jeffs anymore. I thought that was kind of like a 90s name.
Jeff. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey.
Yeah, I didn't think we're doing Jeffries. Not after Dahmer. I thought we put an end to all the Jeffries after the Dahmer.
A lot of those names are coming back.
What, like the...
You know, the Adams.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't do Adams anymore, do we?
I didn't think we did.
Oh.
Coming up next, we react to Ray Fittipaldi, and we stop this nonsense about Jared Jones and his fiance. John Wehner with us at 8:35. Right now, we react to some of what Ray Fittipaldi had to say in the last segment. And I have to bring this up because we're going to bring it up until something happens here. He said about Brandon Ayuk, quote, "I don't think it's dead," end quote. And Ian Rappaport said that the Brandon Ayuk contract situation is one of the biggest questions around the league headed into training camp. I don't know that he's going to have a huge say in where he goes. If he does, I think he's going to wind up in Washington. But if it's for the best return... Yeah, I would think the Steelers have a good chance still of getting them if that door's not closed.
Yeah.
I really liked your rookie question to Ray. Like, basically, who's got the biggest barrier to entry of Roman Wilson, Troy Fautanu, or Zach Frazier? And he actually said Fautanu.
I thought that was very interesting. I was going to say Frazier because he's going to get thrown into the fire immediately. I don't think that there'll be a Herbig situation where Herbig takes the ones in the first week of camp and then Frazier takes the ones the second week and then the first game they switch. No, like Frazier, as soon as they hit the ground in Latrobe, Frazier is going to be the center. And that's going to be tough to deal with. I mean, it's the NFL. Like,
it might look pretty bad early.
I mean, not even bad. It's just going to be it's the NFL. So he's going to have to adjust to many different things. With Roman Wilson, you know, he's going to be a part of probably the one group whenever they do have that slot receiver and the whatever personnel it is I call it. I used to call it Hawk personnel, but, you know, 3-by-1 or
Hawk?
Whatever. Hawk, yes.
Like,
one back.
Like Tua?
Yeah, like okay. Hawk Tua personnel. So
did you happen to hear Starkey learn about that live on the air?
I did. Yeah.
Not to sidetrack this conversation. That was one of the funnier moments in station history.
Yes.
Anyhow.
And then Fautanu, he is gonna be in that situation where it's gonna be, you know, competing with Dan Moore Jr. So they're gonna switch on and off, and he's gonna maybe be with the one sometimes, not be with the one sometimes. But I think Zach Frazier is always immediately gonna be with the one. So I think his uphill battle is gonna be harder than everybody else, but it's not gonna be bad. Like he's just got to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be fine.
I wonder if Fautanu will be the guy against Atlanta.
Yes, he will.
You feel confident about that?
Yes.
You've said the whole time you think he's built to be a right tackle in the NFL.
Yep.
And I do wonder. I don't know if I'd do it. It depends on what comes back. I mean, if it's in an Aiyuk move, this would be weird. But like, I would consider trading Dan Moore.
Mm-hmm.
But you also need depth at that position. And you've got a second-year player on one side and a rookie on the other side. If it does shake out that way, like you feel it will, I don't know that I want to leave my flank unguarded if, I mean, what's your fourth tackle option?
I think like Spencer Anderson, but he could play all the positions, which is very valuable as a backup. But
do you feel good about him at tackle, though? Nah.
No.
Like, he could play all those positions. That's why he's going to have a roster spot.
Yeah, but he can't play one.
Yeah.
And that's why, that's why he's playing multiple.
Right. If he needs to be your tackle for four or five games, uh-oh.
Right.
Whereas, even though, and hey, I am absolutely not on the short list of the biggest fan of the world of Dan Moore Jr., but in a four or five game pinch, should they need him, you've won games with him there before.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have to be the right deal. The other thing that I thought was really interesting coming out of the Ray Fittipaldo interview was that it's basically a fact-finding mission for Justin Fields. I thought it was a really good question. Like, all right, what's the grand plan for this guy? And Ray was saying basically a tryout. You know, he's going to be on the roster, but five or six practices where he's running the show, he'll get some time, obviously not a lot, but he'll get some time in the preseason games. And then you start to figure out really what you have in him. Because I can't imagine they learned too much in OTAs and minicamp.
No.
Like,
no.
Is his head screwed on straight? I mean, they knew the physical tools. Like, is he picking up the offense? Okay, fine.
Right.
But, I mean, his biggest attribute is his God-given athletic ability.
Yes.
And you can't really show that at OTAs and minicamp.
I do wonder how much Russell Wilson is going to play in preseason. But you need him to play because it is a new offense. You need to get on the same page. But if you can get to that point quicker in training camp before you hit preseason games, if he doesn't have to play, then you can get a lot of Justin Fields and get your kind of barometer of where he's at and what you want to do with him, really. But I do think, and I said this initially whenever they made the trade, I said I wasn't in favor of him being a gadget guy, or because it would just take away from Russell Wilson. Say he does well, then you know how the fans are here. Oh, you know, Justin Fields, put him in. Russell Wilson,
rude
he stinks.
Like, Rudolph, yes. Rudolph.
And you don't want to have that, but you have to use your best athletes. And if he's one of your best athletes, you got to find ways of putting him on the field. So I think that if he shows in training camp that he can handle the offense and he does get his reps, he will be the backup quarterback, but also he'll be a fixture in the offense. It's some, I don't know which way, but
just one more thing to have to prepare for.
Yeah, in some way.
It doesn't sound like Ray believes that he's going to get a deal before the season, that they want him to show where he fits on this current team in training camp and then see how the season goes. And then he talked about when the new league year comes, getting something done with Justin Fields.
Isn't he making like $5 or $6 million this year, though?
Yeah, he's on that rookie deal.
So, I mean, it's not like he's like in a rut. Like, he's making money this year.
Yeah, if I'm him, I don't know that I would be running to sign any kind of piece of paper. Like, I feel like probably I would play the season out, see if Russ gets hurt, see if Russ struggles. If one of those things happen and now I get my opportunity and I ball out, now all of a sudden you will have suitors and you will make more money. What's Gardner Minshew making? 2 for $20?
Yep.
He ain't going to make that if he signs a deal before the season. If the Steelers gave him that, I think it would be ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm him, yeah, I probably don't sign a piece of paper at this point. Your value's never been lower. And the Steelers are feeling probably okay about him now. I mean, you've heard nice things, but I don't know if either side it makes sense to sign him right now.
Mm-mm.
And that kind of was an epiphany I had over the break when I sit there and I'm alone in my bed thinking about Justin Fields. But from both sides, it doesn't make much sense. We didn't ask him about Cam Hayward. I meant to, if there's anything going on there.
We can ask him Saturday. Cam.
Oh, the softball game.
Yeah.
I started thinking about Ray. Like, where am I going?
Yeah, that's my bad. I should have said Cam.
Wait, Ray coming over to the pool? Where's my invite? All right, coming up next, one of our favorites. John Wayne are going to join the show. What got into Quinn Priester? Can the Pirates finally win 3 straight games? They could for the first time since May 6th. We'll talk to our friend John Wehner about that coming up next. He's brought to us by Allegiant Federal Community Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. John Wehner brought to you by Gutter Helmet. For a limited time, enjoy up to 35% off Gutter Helmet. No money down or payments for 1 year. Conditions apply. Wehner, how the hell you doing, man? What's going on?
Me? What about you? Where the hell you been? Like an arm wrestling competition or something?
Just get the hell out of here. Paternity leave, John. Paternity leave. Yeah. Second go around. Yeah.
Wow. Well, congrats. That must be fun. Do you get, like, a couple months off for that?
We get, 6 weeks. 5-6 weeks, yeah. So
wow.
I took That's 3 awesome. Initially. I took 2 now. 3 of those days I spent at the bar at Dewey Beach, Delaware. So we're having ourselves a good time, Rock.
That's awesome. Well, congrats.
Thank you. All right, Wehner. Are they going to win 3 in a row? Please. Because you were the guy. You came on here like a month and a half ago and you said they're not going to get on a winning streak unless they can start hitting the baseball, but also they're pitching so good they're not going to get in any losing streaks.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's been, I guess, what's been going on here for the last couple months. It's like you just can't get it going. And like I said, the pitching's been good enough to where, you know, they keep them in ball games. The offense just has not been consistent enough. Hopefully, I'm trying to think of a pitching matchup today to sit here and give you like a more of a, you know, smart answer, but I can't think of even who's pitching, but I hope so. They got to win.
Martin Perez, I believe, is going for the Buccos.
Perez and who's going for Milwaukee?
I got to look.
Yeah, I should
not
have done
Bryce
that.
Wilson.
I was going to get up bright and early and like research and have stuff ready for you, but we didn't show any discretion last night.
John. Let's talk about Skeens in the All-Star game. And there are some people out there that are upset in saying that Paul Skeens isn't worthy of an All-Star spot because he hasn't played a full season. How do you feel about those people thinking that way? And does Skeens deserve this opportunity to showcase his skills in the All-Star game? And should he start in the All-Star game?
Yeah, I know we talked about this a bit a few weeks ago, and I was like, man, I don't know if he has, you know, enough time up here. Just, you know, 10 starts, and can he make it, and should he make it? And, you know, I was shocked to hear he made it, but happy that he made it. I mean, he has been one of the best players in baseball since he's been called up. And so, you know, who cares what other people think? If I was him, that's, or anybody else, it's like, well, everybody's going to have complaints, and you know, a lot of teams are going to be upset that one of their guys didn't go, and et cetera, and so forth. But you know, I love the fact that he made the club. because he has been really good, arguably one of the best, if not the best, since he got called up, his 10 starts. Obviously, he's must-watch TV. Everybody, you know, everybody wants to see Paul Skeens pitch. I took an Uber the other day, and not only did the guy, you know, he started talking and asked me what I did, blah, 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 and he, I'm coming Thursday to watch Paul. I'm like, huh? I mean, it's a first-name basis all of a sudden in Milwaukee, you know, which is blowing me away. That goes to show you people want to go see him. Should he start? I don't know. I mean, Chris Sale's, the numbers he's put up, it's hard for me to sit here and say that he should start. I mean, I've heard the arguments and I've heard, you know.
But Sale's going to go on Sunday now, John.
Oh, well, yeah, that might.
Might open up a little door there.
That might push him up. I'm trying to think. The manager is Torrey Lovello. I don't know if he has any pitching. I don't think he has either. Does Arizona have any pitchers up there? I think that helps too, believe it or not. If it was Rob Thompson from Philly or if it was Brian Snitker from Atlanta, you know they're going to pick their guy to start. But, if there's not, like with Torrey Lovello, if he doesn't have a guy, like a starting pitcher, I like his chances now, especially with Sale going Sunday. Again, I'm not going to sit here and say he should start, but I mean, I get it. I mean, there'll be some hype. It might bring more people in. I mean, who knows? But, I think it's awesome. It's an honor, obviously, to get there. I'm sure he was blown away. You don't expect it when you get called up and, you know, make your debut, what was it, May 10th or 11th or whatever it was. And then make an all-star team? I don't think, nothing like that's ever happened.
When you talk about unbelievable, Rowdy Tellez was hitting 177 with a 463 OPS on June 1st, and now he's got a 249 batting average with a 698 OPS. How did this happen, first of all? And then have you seen anything like the story of Rowdy Tellez? Because not only was he really struggling, but my God, the fans were letting him hear it. And now he's a fan favorite.
Well, not only the fans, you guys, not you specifically, but, you know, the media, the talk shows, everybody. I mean, I didn't think he'd make it to June, honestly. I was wondering, you know, I mean, and hats off to Ben Sherrington and Derek Shelton for having that patience. You know, not everybody would have that kind of patience. I honestly, it was to the point where he wasn't playing at all. Maybe playing, it's down to like one or two starts a week there for a little bit. And, and they run him out there and hats off to him because it's hard. I felt bad for him. I mean, it's hard to play like that. You know, you're at your home ballpark and you're getting booed like that. It was uncomfortable at times to hear it when I'm calling a game. I'm thinking, my goodness, it was worse than I think I've ever heard in Pittsburgh for, you know, a pirate coming to the ball, just going to the plate for not doing really nothing wrong, you know, that particular day. But how he turned it around, I have no idea. I mean, but that's obviously some fortitude to be able to go out there and figure it out. I think obviously, I want to say maybe it was Toronto where things started turning for him. And you know, when you as a hitter, once you start making contact, once you start feeling that timing, once you start seeing the ball jump off your bat, you know, you get more and more comfortable, which leads to more and more confidence, and it turns around for you. I didn't expect it to last for 6 weeks or 5 weeks or however long it's been, but it usually doesn't last that long for anybody but Brian Reynolds. But, man, he's right there with Reynolds. He looked since June 1st, so that kudos because that's impressive. It's an important bat in the middle of our lineup. I mean, we haven't had much in the middle of the lineup as far as big run producers, home run hitters, and it certainly helped. And that's how you're going to turn this team around as far as maybe running off 5-6 in a row or eight out of 10. You need the offense. You need more guys swinging the bat well. And so certainly he's going to be in the middle of it.
Pirates haven't won more than two straight since May 6th. They haven't lost more than two straight since May 10th. They have a chance to win their third straight tonight. It's Martin Perez against Tobias Myers, John. So they get it done?
I mean, I'm not a predictor, but baseball's a crazy game. I always feel that way. You'll sit there and you look on paper and say, oh, my gosh, we can't lose this game. Or, oh, my goodness, we can't win this game. And it never goes as scripted or how you think it might go. I hope so. This has been a tough place to play here in Milwaukee. We've had some crazy games. It's been a house of horrors for a while there. And, it was nice to get off on a good note last night, kind of a historic night offensively for the Pirates in Milwaukee, going back to the Braves. So, yeah, if the bats carry over, you know how this works a lot of times in baseball. It's like you score 12 or 14 or 16 runs. The next day, it's hard to push across one. So, obviously, Perez needs to be on top of his game. Last time he pitched here, it didn't go well. And the bats, they got to keep swinging. So, it'd be nice to win the third one in a row.
All right, Wayne, you got to get some sleep, man.
Yeah.
Hey, that's rude. But I will. Thanks.
We'll talk to you next Wednesday. Thanks, Rock.
See you guys.
See you. John Wayne.
Hey, that's rude.
He knew he was sharing a story to Callis off air about how late he may or may not have been out last night, and alluded to it on the air when he said he didn't do any of the homework.
Yes.
Tobias is on the hill for the Brewers tonight.
Mm.
Just FYI.
Mm-hmm.
React to some of what John had to say when we come back, and then Doug Whalen for a full hour. Do we got a full hour of football in us? Yeah, we do.
Yeah, of course.
Always do, yeah, sure. Doug Whalen joins us coming up at 9 o'clock. It is a Wednesday with Doug Whalen. It's brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. And the 50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. So we had Wayner on in the last segment. I was surprised to hear that Wayner said a couple weeks ago he didn't think Skeens had done enough to earn the All-Star nomination.
That's kind of where I wanted to ask. I truthfully wanted to ask, like, as an old-timer.
Yeah.
Didn't want to offend him, though. As an old-timer, how do you feel about this? Because I kind of figured that, there are a lot of old-timers out there that have said he hasn't earned it. Like, those are mostly the people that have spoken up about it. And I figured, how does he really feel about it?
If he had pitched the full season and not come in a month late, would that have merited consideration for some of the old-timers? Like, that's where I'm wondering. He's pitched as long as they've allowed him to pitch in the major leagues.
Like, if he'd have pitched in April, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if he... Oh, boy, he got a full month now. A full extra month. Like, come on. This guy, in every start, has been so good that this team that has scored some runs for him sometimes and not runs for him other times, he's never exited the game trailing.
Right.
Not once. He's got the lowest ERA. He doesn't qualify, but he's got the lowest ERA in the National League. Like, if he were sitting here with a 3.45 ERA, which is the same as Hunter Green's, and you wanted to make the argument, we'll take the guy who's pitched over 100 innings instead of a guy who's been pretty good but not great, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been great. And then here's the other thing. It's a showcase. It's a showcase. Like, I don't care. It's not like you would just be playing him because he's got a huge arm. He's proven it in his opportunities, but he is going to be the number one reason, I think, people watch the All-Star game.
Well, what they should do for those old-timers is poll the players that he's gone against and ask them what they think.
Oh, man.
And they'd be like, yes.
How many times do guys...
The Willis guy that you just said.
Dontrell.
Yeah. He's one of the former players, right?
Yeah.
But he's one that says yes, but some of the other guys said no. Ask Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, I think Shohei Ohtani knows.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. The number of times we see players walking back to the dugout shaking their heads, I know there's like whiff percentage and all that and stuff plus that Zangrilli's brought up from time to time. I want shaking head percentage, because I guarantee well he's right up near the top of the league in that. And then he'll give the wry smile. It could be like Pedro Martinez going out there. That came out real Pittsburgh.
Pedro Martinez going out there.
And fanning the first three dudes. Like, I could see that. For sure. And we're talking about like Adley Rutschman. All right. Coming up next, we got Doug Whaley for a full hour. What happens when management, you know, when ownership don't see eye to eye? How does a general manager deal with such things? We'll talk to Doug Whaley about that coming up next. But first, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates, terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 89.